It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest for today is gorgeous Sister Judy Gifford. How are you, gorgeous lady?
I am alive with hope, faith, and love.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended, if we have no technical difficulties. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dodson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're in the market for a newer used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barber Dodson Ford, located here in Elk. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all, Sister Judy. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes, ma'am. Father, we come to you today, and we are so thankful that you are who you are. You are who you say you are, Father, and I thank you that your word tells us, Lord, and describes, Lord, all of the things we can have and all of the things we can become, all the things that you have promised for us. I thank you for your word, and today, Lord, I humble myself before you, and as we speak your word today, I ask for the anointing. I know that within myself I can do nothing, but I know with you I can do all things. As for a cleansing, Lord, of my heart and mind and spirit, and that before you and before these people, O God, I can present your word in a way, O God, that will minister to them. And I really realize I can't. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to present it and speak through me, God, to minister to the ones that hear. Bless their ears. Minister to this and to them in a way I am not able, but God, you are well able. So we trust you today. Be in this room and anoint us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, Sister Judy.
Yes.
Promises. There is no promises like the promises from God.
Right. Have you ever had anybody promise you something and then not come through?
A few times.
And probably the biggest heartbreak for people is to walk down an aisle and in front of friends and family or a judge or a pastor and you know, lots of people, you stand there and you make a promise. Mm-hmm. And some people call them vows. They are, I will, and he will, and I promise. I promise. One of the things in the marriage vow says, I promise to love. And my daddy tried to get me to say obey. He actually was going to put that in my, that I would love, honor, and obey. I'm like, I didn't do it in the marriage ceremony, but I told him before the marriage ceremony, don't put that word obey in there. But, you know, it really didn't matter. I did it anyway. But it was a promise I made to him. I promised to love him for as long as he lived. And as long as I found out that love don't die, you keep loving them after they're gone anyway. But I was going to be true to him, keep myself only to him, and he promised the same to me, for as long as we both shall live. And actually, I was thinking the other day, he and I have this special promise that we kind of made to each other for eternity. And I know when you get to heaven, you don't marry, you're not given in marriage. But as we sat in our recliners one day, I did not realize that we were so close to being separated. But I think it was the Holy Spirit, because he had me speak out. And we were listening to a song. He asked me to come and sit by him. He said, you're on that Facebook too much, Judy. Come and sit down with me. And so I sat down with him in the den. And we listened to Jimmy Fortune sing on the sunny banks of Jordan. And I've told this before, but the song says, I'll be waiting on the sunny banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And what the covenant was between us is he heard those words and he's listening and the presence of the Lord comes all over him. And I noticed that my husband, when the presence of the Lord, he had the gifts of the Spirit and was actually used by the Lord in services to give out messages in tongues or mostly interpretation that other people had given. And I've stood there by him. And then that day also sitting there, watched him go like this. When the presence of the Lord would come upon him so mightily, it would just almost take his breath and he would, ooh. And so he did that day. And when that truth came across and Jimmy Fortune is saying, this is what I'll do. I think I'm going first, but I'll rise up and come and meet you. He went, ooh. And I lifted my hands and started praying. I actually started praying in tongues. I was praying and together we're sitting there worshiping the Lord that one day we're going to stand together there on that sunny bank. And the other day I'm going, you know, that's really kind of like a promise. It's a promise that I'm going to hold on to. But when you open from the very first pages of this word, God begins to lay out promises. First, he begins to explain to us. I know he knew man was going to be going, how'd we get here? You know, down the line, Adam and Eve are going to pass, and he's going to write his words so that we're going to know how did we all get here? So God begins to lay it out. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then here's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water, and then God spoke, and God said, let there be light. And that was the first thing. And let it divide the light. And he goes right down till finally he gets kind of like to think of him getting on his knees and getting in the dirt and forming. I don't think he let the angels do this. I think with God's own hand, he began to make man and he created him. And then he blew into man. He meant man's first kiss from God. He blew. He handmade Adam and Eve, literally handmade Adam and Eve. He took Adam's rib, and that is amazing that he took a rib instead of going and doing another set of dirt. But he took the rib to join them somehow as woe man, man and woe man, because Adam named her that because she was taken out of his side. I thought that's pretty neat. God let Adam name that. Have you ever realized how free we are in Jesus? Brent's always telling me, we were talking, he said, Mother, you know, the happiest place in the world is living for Jesus, because what he does is he saves you and helps you. And he goes, go have fun. Go, you know, as long as you're loving me and you're serving me, you listen to me, go have fun. Life is fun. And all these promises I will give you. So anyway, that's kind of what I want to talk about, is the promises that's laid out in this word. They're very plain, but sometimes they're hard to pick out for us. I don't know if you've ever been here, but I've been in places in my life emotionally, particularly when I was 23 and young and not knowing how to decipher the word as well, that you pick it up and you're like, where is it? Ooh, that person killed that person. Oh, what? You know, and I remember picking up the word of God and all I could see was judgment. All I could see, because it was a state of mind I was in. And I went for a while where I just went like, put it down, because I couldn't decipher it. I was in a, and I think there's a lot of people who have done that. They, for some reason, they go, it's too hard, I can't figure it out. I've had a lot of people tell me that. I can't figure it out. We'll get you a different version then, you know, because the promises are there. And one guy did this. He took scriptures to live by and called it that. And he went through the whole Bible. His name's Greg Moore. He went through the whole Bible and he categorized, and okay, and here's healing scriptures, and I'm sure he didn't cover all of them, but one of them's healing, and you go over here, and this is if you need guidance, and then if you need to forgive or be forgiven, I guess there's forgiveness, And all these scriptures says, this one here says, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. So as in Chronicles, the king was asking the Lord to look down. Solomon, this was Solomon's prayer. And when people made a prayer in that place by the temple, he's saying, Lord, forgive. For thy name's sake, Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. So it's talking about forgiveness in all ways. But anyway, you can go through favor, almost anything, faith. So this is a real good book to have. You can order it, I'm sure, on Amazon. It's by Greg Moore, Scriptures to Live By. And you can just go down and say, okay, what applies to me here? But the best thing, let me show you this one too. It's God's Promises for Your Every Need. And I got this at Mardell's. No, I didn't. Bought it from the evangelist when he was here. I had one for Mardell. But you have a physical sickness. So, and it just gives whatever. This one says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Also found out that you could go through the scripture. If you're saved, you can go through these scriptures, and you can write your name right by that, and you can claim every one of those because they're promises to the Christian that you can. I'm glad you're looking at me and nodding. She's doing her busy thing there. So this is good. She has a job to do, so she's going to do this. But, and grief. It says, blessed be God, even Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I don't know if you've done this, but if you've served God very long, you have. You've gone through the scripture, which I says is the best thing to do, and go through the scriptures and look and let God speak to you for yourself. And if you don't know where to go, go right in the middle of the Bible, open it, and look for Psalms. Now, the next one over is Proverbs, and I mean, wow. Proverbs gives you so many things. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, it happens. Warnings to stay away from. There's even a warning in there about not going someone's loan, that if you go someone's loan, you'll have to pay it. And just all kinds of wisdom, because God allowed him to be the wisest man ever walked the face of the earth, or ever would walk the face of the earth. And he had trouble living it right and doing it right. Toward the end, he let his wives kind of turn his heart away from the truth that he should know. It says, a truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. That's Proverbs. It says, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easy to the discerning. Oh, wow. I think the majority of the whole world at this very moment lies in deception. And those who are not deceived are the ones who've touched God and who've gotten into this word. And they have found the promises of God. Because the Bible says that the devil goes around like, or similar to, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know about you, but there have been times I'm going, you're not devouring here, Satan. Here's the bloodline right here. You cannot come in. And do you know he's a legalist? He knows what he has a right to do. But he's also a trespasser. So he knows what he don't have a right to do. But if you're not watching, he'll do it. If you're not, you can go, I claim these kids, they're mine. I plead the blood over them. And Satan, you better not touch them. But he will if you leave a big gap open where he can get in one way or another. But anyway, he doesn't play fair. So what we do is we have to get the word and legally use it on him. And then we have to know our rights. And we have to be in a place. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They went up to deliver a man. And they laid hands on him. And when they did, the demons in the man spoke. And the demons said these, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, what right do you have to come? And they thought they had every right, but they didn't have everything lined up right. They didn't have the word of God right. Their heart apparently wasn't right. Hell hadn't bothered them at all because they hadn't proved that they were Christian enough. You know, if you're on fire for God, hell's going to notice you. And then guess what? He's going to come start throwing things at you. And then you've got to start finding your weapons and your promises. Sometimes you can call those promises weapons because they really are. They're weapons against the enemy. You can grab a hold of them. And when I was a baby Christian, 23, I'd say that's baby. Some people think they're big and grown at 23. And I did think I was big and grown at 23. I thought I was old when I was 23 years old. But I didn't know about weapons. And I didn't know. I knew a few promises. I knew this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I hung on to that. And yesterday at the nursing home, I told those people that. That is a promise of God that we have. And we can grab a hold of that. But there's so much more beyond that that we have to pick up our promises and go, wait. This is what God's word says. You want to listen, Satan? This is what God's word says. I'm more than a conqueror. You're not. And this girl here goes, sucker. One lady calls him a homeless lying loser. You homeless lying loser, get out of here. And that's what Jesus did. You know, he came to with a temptation to Jesus. He always, the enemy, I think, this is my theory. I think he sends imps. Because he can't study everybody himself. He's not God. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. We give him way too much credit. Well, people want to elevate him in their minds with God. But hey, there's nobody compared to our God. The Bible says our God, he says, is anything impossible with me? He's asking. God is asking you, is anything impossible with me? And there's another place that says nothing is too big for our God. So some people took a song and we sang it. Nothing too big for our God. No. But the devil has to have help. So he sends these little imps out. This is my philosophy. The scripture don't say this. But he said, sends little imps out to study people. Mm-hmm. Now, see, if this happens, if I can make this happen over here, that's going to get Monica's attention. Well, that might even devastate her. So if it devastates her, then we're going to come with this temptation. I think it's a plan that the enemy has tried to lay out to derail. Just like I was telling you yesterday, words were said. But at the moment, I'm going, ha, good try, Satan. And then when I start to tell someone about it, it's almost like the Lord's like, shh, don't talk it. Don't talk it. You make it bigger than it is. And then someone else don't respond right. You go, huh. They think that too. You know what I mean? It can just go and go. So what the devil does, here's what we do. We say, the Bible says resist him. Brent and I were talking this week. What is one real good way of resisting someone that's pestering you? It's the best. Mm-hmm. Ignore them. That's the very best way to treat that old devil. Is just to like, what? They say the worst thing you can do to someone, there could be in New York City a drunk on the street there. And what do people do? Step over him and keep walking. Many people would just go, and you just ignore someone. There's not a whole lot of, have you seen that commercial that goes like this? And one person's going, oh, hi. And that person goes, hi. And they take off and they go right past them and hug someone else. You know, have you seen that? And you're like, oh, shut down, you know. But anyway, ignoring somebody And so that's what we have to do with the devil. And sometimes when he's in your face, I mean, really in your face, you can't ignore what just happened. You just had a car wreck. You know what I mean? It's in your face. You just, something just happened. Okay? You're going to have to figure out how to resist him. Because you're going to say, here's what's going to do. Why did I have the car wreck? Did God allow? Did the devil allow? I'm too much of an analyst. I want to analyze everything. And one lady told me once, God spoke to me about you last night. I said, oh, really? This is about 5 years ago or so, or more, or six. It's been a while. More than that, more like 10 probably. Anyway, she said, yeah, he told me that you're too analytical and you're too hard on yourself. So I want to analyze everything. Do you? Well, if this is God's will, well, then why did this happen? Well, if this happened, what? Well, did God do that? Did God? Well, if God did that, did the devil do that? And we get ourselves in such, when some, we just need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help because I can't figure this out. I don't know who did what, but I know this, you're good. And I know this, you promised you'd never do anything to hurt me. Oh, since this hurt me, I better look and see who the culprit is. Oh, it really wasn't that lady that said that nasty thing. There was someone put that in her brain. She hadn't thought of that. She hadn't pre-planned that. She didn't even know what the conversation was going to be. So she hadn't pre-planned that. But there's someone else knew that that was a tender spot for me all my life. Somebody knew that there was a time that I told the Lord, well, if you'd wanted to, you could have made me pretty. And I just really, you know, I was around people that were from a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 and a half in looks and just everything at the time. And I'm like, we women do this comparison thing. And then so it's something that, like I told you, I was going around a mirror and literally I was slim. Had a cute outfit on, a blue, light blue pants, light blue and checkered shirt. And I went around the corner, and I had this whole wall's a mirror in my kitchen in Oklahoma City. And we lived in Yukon for a while, and Thurber had built me a house there. And I walked through and caught my image just accidentally because I'm walking through looking, carrying laundry to the kitchen. Have to go through in front of that mirror. But I just went through the edge of it. I didn't go all the way in front of it. And I just caught a glimpse. And the thought popped in my head, well, at least I wish I looked as good as her. And then I realized, whoa, that was me. Okay, I think I got an inferiority complex. Do you think the devil knew that? Mm-hmm. Something from way back, 30 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, that happened. And so yesterday, someone slapped me with it. Did the lady intend to? No, she had no clue. She's trying to make another point on things we should say and things we should think and things we shouldn't think. And she's a new Christian. She's or almost a Christian. And I'm not sure which. And so she's, you know, she's trying. And so she laid all that out. But what I have to do is listen to what the Holy Spirit says first. Shh. And it's hard for me, shush. Is it hard for you to shush?
Yes.
Particularly when I'm upset about something.
The Lord tells me put a bubble in it. And I'm like, and sometimes I literally have to stand there in front of somebody and go.
Yeah. Right. Or you tell something you're not supposed to. This is why our spoken word is so important. We bring life to something. And when we bring life to something, we're going to have emotions with it. Mm-hmm. And they're either going to be good or they're going to be bad. And usually what I catch myself with the good, I'm like, la, 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 and Jesus and me, and we're loving it, and it's wonderful. But when it goes bad, I'm like, did you see what she did? Do you know? And I want to pull you in it. You know, I want to pull you in it. And then I want you to tell me the opposite. You know, I'd ask my husband a question, and he'd go, is this a trick question? They don't know whether to answer or not. One question I ask him once, he goes, so what kind of question is that? Well, it's a reassurance question. Are you going to reassure me or are you going to make me mad? What are you going to do? But anyway, all tactics, I'm saying that to say we have promises of God, but we've got an enemy out there. He don't care about the promises. This whole color book, I've got this at Walmart and I love it. It is promises to bless your heart. And you open it up and it's all these promises of God. And then they're made where you can sit and color them. And it said, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They're for adults. So I have tried my hand at it while I'm laying in bed at night. So it says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding.
That's
one of my favorites. So, yeah. So you can just go through here and choose what you want to color and think about those. I usually do this when I'm talking on the phone at night, and so I will color so that I don't fall asleep on that person, because I have fallen asleep on my mother, on my aunt, and then my aunt would go, should change her voice, because after a while, these lovely people, voice sounds so soothing, and you've already had your aspirin or whatever you're going to take before you go to bed, you know, and you're laying there, and before I know, I'd just be snoring, and my aunt. And one time my husband went over and picked up the phone and said, Mickey, she's asleep. And I'll pray with you, because we call to pray for each other, because we got to talk an hour before we pray, you know. And I had fallen asleep. He'd say, Mickey, I'll just pray with you. And another time she went, Judy. She dropped her voice so it'd wake me up. Go as loud as she could and go, Judy, and try to wake me up. I went to sleep on a parishioner one time, but had been a parishioner in Colorado, and she called me, found that I was in Oklahoma City, and we weren't pastoring at that time. Had one of those wall phones with a real long, it was a yellow wall phone, had a real long cord. So I thinking, well, oh man, I'm going to make some time out of this. You know, I'm not just stand here and waste time. Well, I thought it was wasting time. Anyway, so I got on the floor and I started, and I'm exercising, you know, and I'm laying there, and then before I knew what happened, I heard in my ear, and I'm going, I woke up going, oh, what was I doing? What? Oh, Ann was on the phone. Oh, I think I went to sleep on her. Oh, so I called her back days later. I waited till in case she was mad, and I called her back, and I said, what happened? And she said, I don't know. I just couldn't get you to talk anymore, so I hung up. I go, that's sad. Go to sleep on someone. But I guess maybe we need to treat the devil that way, you know, just ignore what he said. I don't know how I got clear off my subject. I can do that when I preach them. But the promises of God, they are yea, the Bible says, and amen. And what that means is when you say, God, I want to, you promised this. And he goes, yep, I did. Yay. Amen. I promise that. Well, can I have it? Yes. Are you sure? Can I have it? Really? Yeah. I think sometimes we must go, yeah, kid. I said you could have it. Pick it up. It's yours. You know, we do that. Like, take that book. We go, you know. But God says I can have it. So, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But God doesn't hold back on us. God is our... This says, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to the end. And just beautiful promises. I'd like to go over some more of the promise, but it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Shows a pretty little bird, and I haven't colored that. I also have a Bible that has the words here, and then on this side we'll have a pretty picture for you to color. People have found out that I like to color. I haven't outgrown my love to color. But I want to talk about these promises. Do you see what these promises are? I was listening to the internet, and I was listening to Dodie. Dodie, her name is Osteen. Joel Osteen's mother was healed of cancer. Mm. She had a orange side cancer on her liver and two walnut-sized cancers on her liver. She was 89 pounds, and they'd given her weeks to live. And she was 57 years old, and 57, 54, somewhere in there. She's in her 50s. And she had a son studying to be a doctor, and she's just had one child left at home. And so she said her and her husband went home, and she said, we greeted our daughter, and my parents were there. And she said, but they got before the Lord when they got to their bedroom, either that night or early the next morning. I don't know exact details, but they went to the end of their bed and laid on the floor, and they began to call out to God. And God, we need, and she said, I heard my husband say, God, We need her. She said, I need her. My children need her. Our church needs her. Our ministry needs her. And God, I'm trusting you to heal my wife. And she said, when he said that, faith rose in my heart that I'm going to be healed. And she said, so we got up from there, and I started acting healed. I didn't feel healed, but I started acting healed. Mm-hmm. I started taking God's promises. And so she started going through scripture and writing down all these scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so I can have y'all copy this if you want to. So I wrote them down. And in my purple Bible, which I have lost at the moment, I'm bad about taking it with me somewhere and leaving it. So if you've got my Bible, let me know, because I wag it all over the place. But this is...
Not that one.
Huh?
Well,
this one is... That one's a new one. Yeah. This is a purple cover.